Welcome to the Breathing God podcast. I'm your host, Gretchen Rodriguez. Julian of Norwich once said, "I look at God, I look at you, and I keep looking at God." I was pondering this morning what that means, and to me, it means being present with God in the presence of others. And, you know, on this podcast, everything we've been talking about, everything we've been sharing is about intimacy with the Lord, is about coming into the place where we live in a way that we are constantly beholding Him, whether we're by ourselves, whether we're in stress, whether we're with other people. And so today I want to bring into the conversation author, speaker, and a man that Len and I call friend, him and his wife, Chuck Maher. And I am so excited to bring you into the conversation today. So about how long has it been since you shared that message at church?
Oh man, it's been a couple months anyway.
Has it? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, guys, Chuck ministered this message and I just loved it and immediately said, "You have to come on my podcast and share this." And the reason is because it's one thing to live in this intimacy with the Lord, and it's another to be selfish with it and not share it and not realize that we're called to walk in partnership with Jesus. And you just gave this beautiful invitation to us on that Sunday when you ministered at church. And so I want you to just share what was in your heart that day, what is always in your heart. You live this way. Share this with the listeners.
Thanks, Gretchen. I just want to say thanks so much for having me on your podcast. We've been trying to do this for a long time.
Yeah.
and we finally found a date that we could make it happen. And Anna and I just love you and Glenn. I mean, Len. And I always call him that. We love you. And I just want to say, I so love your spirit, Gretchen, and just your heart for the Lord, just your pursuit of intimacy. You just ooze intimacy with the Lord and so appreciate about you.
Thank you.
So I'm just honored to be with you on this. And yeah, I shared that at our church, I think a couple months ago, and I've since shared it at some other places. And so I really am excited to share just that topic that I'll introduce in a minute. But I just want to say to all of our listeners, and I know everybody knows this, but I just want to say it is such an exciting time to be alive right now. Like just the things that are happening, that things that God's doing in the body of Christ, like you can't make this up. Like we have, you know, the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl, and of course all the prophetic swirl around that, you know, and for those that don't know, Prophet Bob Jones said many times a long time ago that when the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, you'll know that revival is about to break out or is in our midst, something along those lines. And so the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, and then Asbury Awakening happens, Asbury Outpouring Revival, whatever you want to talk about or whatever you want to call it in Kentucky, which since then, this outpouring has broken out, I heard, in like over 20 some universities now across America.
Right. Yeah.
There's something similar happening where there's just an increased hunger, an increased pursuit of the presence of God among students. So this is happening. And then right around the same time, this movie called Jesus Revolution hits the theaters and is, you know, theaters are being full. It's like really making noise, and which is a documentary, or not a documentary, but the story of the Jesus People movement. So all of these things are happening at the same time. And I said the other day at a church I was speaking at, like, the Holy Spirit is a really great administrator. He's a great planner. Like, we couldn't line all these things up, but all at the same time, these things are happening. And I really believe that Jesus is really just shouting to the church, like, awakening is among you. It's here. And so it's just so exciting. And, you know, those that know me know that I got saved in January 94. I was 16 years old. And this was the same month that there was a move of God, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Toronto, Canada. I'm from Canada originally, from the East Coast. And I got saved the same month, this outpouring called the Toronto Blessing, or the Toronto Outpouring, broke out in Toronto, Canada. And this quickly impacted the entire world. Pastors and leaders and people, you know, from all backgrounds started to come from all over the world to this outpouring in Toronto, and then would take it back to their own churches, their own cities, and it began to break out in other places. And, you know, ministries like Heidi Baker, Bethel Church, and the list goes on, can trace, you know, kind of the glory that they stepped into back to their time in Toronto. And I got saved during this time, and Gretchen, it was so glorious. Like, we met every night of the week for months, except Monday nights, because pastors take Mondays off, you know. And we would meet every night of the week while the glory of the Lord visited us and would just descend upon us. I was only 16 years old. You know, I didn't know what it all meant. I was just hungry for God. So I was like, Lord, I want everything that you have for me. And we would come, like, you know, God's moving when you and your high school friends get home from school and you're trying to get all your homework done so that you can get to the renewal.
Go to church.
And it's like Tuesday night, you know? And so this is happening. And like, we'd be there till 1 a.m. Kids would, parents would bring sleeping bags for their kids, and they would literally be sleeping along the walls, that around the edge of the church, while the parents were just in the glory. And I got so marked during that time by the presence of God. And I remember during that time, it was so good that so many people were saying, this has to be like the last revival. Like, Jesus is probably coming back like tomorrow. Like, this is it. This is the last day outpouring. We're about to go be with the Lord. It was so glorious. But I remember during that time, so many prophetic voices said that as awesome as this is, as glorious as this is, it's actually going to seem like this wave kind of subsides a little bit, only because there's another wave, there's a second wave that's going to come, that's going to be like a tsunami, that's going to be so much greater, so much more glorious, that it's going to eclipse anything that we're experiencing now and eclipse any revival of the past that we read about. I really believe that both theologically and biblically, we can confidently say that the best is yet to come, that God really is saving his best wine for last. I really believe that we are in the beginning stages of another wave that's going to be so much greater. I really believe we're on the brink of another Jesus People movement.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% on that.
And if you look at the time during the Jesus People movement, people were getting saved like crazy. It's like you could walk into a coffee shop and just say Jesus, and people are like, I want to know Jesus. It's like, I'll get saved. And I really believe like we're like the harvest is ripe. And I really believe that this next wave, I really believe that the wave back in the 90s was in so many ways about renewing the church, blessing and healing the body of Christ to prepare us for this other wave that I really believe will be marked by a harvest of souls coming into the kingdom of God. And I really believe that it's going to be marked by harvest. And during the Jesus movement, you know, it wasn't just a few superstars filling stadiums. It's like everybody started to get activated in sharing their faith, like in the coffee shops, in the cafes, on the college campuses. And I really believe that this next wave is going to be marked by the entire body of Christ equipped and empowered to be a witness everywhere they go.
Yeah. And isn't it interesting? Because I, you know, I remember when the Toronto outpouring happened, Toronto Blessing, and how much it marked my life. We lived in Florida at the time, and it was, I mean, we were having the same thing. There were glory meetings every night of the week. And it was just, and now I'm looking at what you're saying, you know, this next wave that's coming,
Yeah.
And isn't it interesting that right now the focus is Jesus?
Absolutely.
He takes center stage more than anybody else. And so when we are focused on him and we're growing in intimacy and getting whole, the next thing that happens automatically is that you begin to look at other people in a way that you want to pour into them as well.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, so, and that's what I love about what's happened at Asbury is it's not centered around some famous speaker. It's not about a famous worship leader. It's all about Jesus. They're just keeping the main thing, and that's intimacy with Jesus and getting to know him more. So, and I really believe, like you said, one of the fruits of us really getting lost in intimacy with Jesus is we can't help but tell people about him.
Right.
He starts to spill out of us everywhere we go. And, you know, and this is what I talked about, you know, a couple months ago, and I've really been sharing in different places that I go, is really the power of stopping for the one. You know, just, I really believe that when we're abiding in Christ, Jesus said, you know, when we abide in him, we'll bear much fruit. And I believe part of bearing fruit as we abide in him is everywhere we go, we're carrying his heart and his presence. It's like you said, it's being present with the Lord, even when we're around other people. And when we're abiding in Jesus, what's going to happen is we'll walk into a grocery store, we'll walk into the gym where we're going to do our workout, you know, wherever we're going. It's not like we're going on an outreach. We just are an outreach because we're abiding in him. You know, we see this in Acts 3 when Peter and John, it says they were on their way to the temple at the hour of prayer. Like they weren't going on an outreach. They were going about their daily routine, abiding in Jesus, filled with the Spirit, the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, living inside of them. And it says they were walking. And then at the gate called Beautiful, there was a cripple. And he said, you know, he asked them for money. You know, and if you read the story, it says Peter looked at him and he said, look at us. And he said, silver and gold I have not, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And it says, immediately strength came into his ankles and he stood up leaping and praising God. and I love what Chris Vallotton says, you know, he stood up because he was physically healed. He was leaping for joy because he was emotionally healed, and he was praising God because he was spiritually healed. I believe God wants to fill us with his Spirit so that everywhere we go, we lead people into wholeness, both body, soul, and spirit. But see, they weren't going on an outreach. They're going about their regular daily routine, but we're being present with the Lord and present for the person that was there. And you know, we see that in John 4 too. And I love this story about the woman at the well. It says that Jesus was departing Judea and was going to Galilee. He was with his disciples. They were taking a road trip. And it says, but Jesus had to go through Samaria. And I love this because it wasn't really a direct route. He took a bit of a detour because he knew there was a divine appointment there for him. And he gets there. He sends the disciples into town to buy food. The woman comes, the Samaritan woman comes. Jesus says, will you give me a drink? And the gist of the story is, you know, they get into this conversation and, you know, Jesus asks her for a drink. And then Jesus said, go get your husband and come back. She's like, I don't have a husband. And he's like, you're right. You've had five husbands and the man you're with now isn't your husband. You have spoke correctly. And then she's like, I perceive that you're a prophet. And he's like, what was your first clue? You know? But I love this because he stops for the one lady who is ripe for an encounter. And as a result of that one word of knowledge, she goes into the city and she tells the entire city of Samaria. She tells all the Samaritans, come see the man who told me everything I've ever done. And next time Jesus comes to Samaria, we read later, it says the entire city came out to see him. And like, we never know what, you know, just stopping for one person, being sensitive to the voice of the Lord, whether it's giving somebody a prophetic word, praying healing over somebody, just encouraging somebody, giving somebody a hug. We never know what that one step of obedience will do as we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, what the ripple effect will be. And we just never know. And I remember, you know, earlier this year, it might've been late last year, I was going to the gym. And in fact, our whole family was at the gym. It was my wife, Anna, and I, and all of our three girls, and the girls were in childcare. We were working out. We finished our workout, got the girls. We were on our way out to the car. And I saw this lady just sitting on a bench inside the gym with headphones on. And I just felt compassion for her. And I felt that prompting of the Holy Spirit. Like, I want you to go talk to her. I want to minister to her. And many times, Gretchen, I don't even know what I'm going to say. I just feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit to just go approach an individual. They're highlighted to me. And so I said, Autumn, I feel like we're supposed to go talk to that lady. Will you come with me? She said, yeah. And Autumn was six at the time. So I took Autumn with me. And I said, excuse me, ma'am. My name's Chuck. And I'm a pastor. And sometimes the Lord gives me a word of encouragement for somebody, and I feel like I have one for you. Is it okay if I share it? And she's like, sure. So I said, well, I feel like the Father wants you to know, first of all, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know you, but the Lord wants you to know that he sees you. He knows exactly what you're going through, and he's there with you. Just a simple word of encouragement. Tears start to come down her cheeks. And she said, I've been diagnosed with cancer. And actually before, I actually asked her if there's anything I can pray for her for. She said, yeah, I've been diagnosed with cancer. Tears in her eyes. She said, I've been diagnosed with cancer and it's not looking good. I said, can I pray for you? I believe God does miracles. She said, absolutely. So right there in the gym, I got to take her by the hand, and Autumn and I prayed for her. And then I got to text her back and forth because we exchanged numbers, just checking on her, seeing how she's doing. I said, I believe God has the power to heal you. And I don't know to this day if she was healed of cancer, Gretchen, but I know that she was touched by the love of God, because somebody filled with the Spirit of God stopped to minister to her and let her know that she's seen by the Lord.
Yeah, I think that in the past, I think as Christians, we've made this life of evangelism. It sounds so huge and scary, and, you know, handing out the pamphlets, and we've got to know exactly right. What to say. And honestly, something as simple as smiling at somebody, something as simple as letting people know, I see you and God sees you. Like, it isn't very complicated.
Amen.
And what you did wasn't complicated at all. You just stopped for the one. It's beautiful.
Exactly. And I think one of the keys in kind of taking the pressure off of ourselves and even stepping past our fear, because I like to tell people, even the greatest evangelists of our day, who we just see as full of boldness, full of courage, full of fire, they are bold, they are courageous, but I promise you, they still get nervous. They still have, you know, they still second guess themselves, all of those things. I believe the difference is simply that they don't allow fear to stop them. Because I think courage isn't the absence of fear. It's just not allowing fear to tell us what to do. So I still feel fear sometimes. I still feel nervous. But do you know what I do? I choose courage, because I think, you know, God told Joshua three times before he stepped into his calling, be strong and courageous. And God would not have told Joshua three times, be strong and courageous, if he was already feeling strong and courageous. So I think that we really need to choose courage. And I think part of choosing courage is going, okay, I'm not going to trust my own strength. I'm not going to trust my own ability. I'm going to trust the power of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of me. And even though I feel afraid, I'm going to step over the chicken line and I'm going to do it anyway. And I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit. God loves that. You know, it's in our weakness that he's strong. I love the way Paul puts it in the Passion Translation. He said, my weakness becomes a portal for God's power. And I really believe
that. I love that.
And if we just embrace our weakness and go, you know what? I'm going to do it anyway. And I'm going to trust God. See, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel itself works. It works. It's powerful. So, and the other key that I like to share is just, even if you feel scared and nervous, just relax and just be really normal and be really confident. Even if you don't feel confident, just relax and choose to be confident. And what will happen is when you relax your body and you're like, I'm just going to be relaxed. I'm going to be normal. Even if I'm freaking out on the inside, what happens is your spirit will actually catch up with what you're choosing by faith. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree. And also I think that one thing that I've found over the years is that if I'm somewhere and I am drawn to someone and I'm prompted by the Holy Spirit to go talk to them, the longer I think about it,
yeah,
and ho-hum and like, well, I don't know, what do you want to say? And do you want, the longer I do that, the harder it is to do it. So I think when we don't overthink it and we just go, okay, I have no idea what I'm going to say, God, it's up to you, it changes. It gives us maybe more freedom because we're not overthinking. And I have seen another thing that has really helped me over the years with this is taking myself out of the equation, because obviously we can't do what we do without ourselves. But taking the focus away from me.
Amen.
In other words, a lot of times if I feel that nudge from Holy Spirit to go talk to somebody, I will think about myself. Well, what if I say something stupid? Well, what if I don't have an answer? Well, what if I don't pray for them and see a miracle? Well, what if I, and the moment I make it about me, I lose something very precious. Right. And so when we make it about God and about the relationship and love from him to that person and what they're needing, we are moved with compassion without self-focus.
Yes.
And that makes a huge difference. I think that jumping on it the moment he says it to us.
Absolutely. And I think with that as well, it's important that we don't measure whether we were successful or not by their response. Because somebody, you could approach somebody and say, can I pray for you? And they might say, no, thank you. Or you could even say, I feel like I have a word for you. Does this mean anything to you? And they may be like, no, not really. And you know, maybe it will later or whatever. I think it's so important that we remember that God doesn't measure success how we do. So oftentimes we think we're successful if the person cries or they get healed or they give their life to the Lord, where the Lord, all he's looking for is faithfulness and obedience.
Yeah.
And I think part of like, along with what you said, taking our eyes off of ourselves means like, even if we're rejected by somebody when we approach them, actually learning to be okay with that. Because Jesus himself was rejected by man, you know, and actually being okay with that and be like, you know what? I was obedient. Or even if I missed it, that's okay. We're all in process. We're all learning. We're stepping out. And God is pleased just with the yes in my heart that I have toward him and doing my best to be obedient.
So what do you think? So let's talk to the person who has never done this before. They may have been walking by someone or even maybe talking to someone in the grocery store and they're feeling this nudge like, hi, oh, Holy Spirit, I feel like you actually have something more for them, but they're too scared to tap into that.
Yeah.
You know, fear really has silenced their voice in sharing stuff like that. And maybe they even feel like, well, I have to tell them that Jesus died for them. I have to pour out the gospel to them. Like, so they're holding back because they don't know the right way to do that. What kind of encouragement can you give to that person who's never done this before?
Sure. The first thing that I would say is if you've done that, like if you have felt prompting to go talk to somebody and you didn't, I want to encourage you, don't beat yourself up about it. I used to beat myself up so bad if I felt like God was saying something and then I didn't. I'd go home and I would be like, oh, I was disobedient, and I would allow condemnation to come on me. I want to encourage you, like, God is so gracious and the Father is so kind. if you feel like you're disobedient, say, oh Lord, I'm so sorry. Give me the grace and give me the strength that I need to obey you next time. And know that you're forgiven. Know that, you know, through the blood of Jesus, he sees you as perfect in his sight. Don't give in to shame, condemnation, but also know that it is the Lord's heart to empower us to be bold, to be courageous, and to step out. So to answer your question, Gretchen, I would encourage them to take the pressure off. Don't feel like you need to lead them automatically into a sinner's prayer of repenting and giving their life to Jesus. Take all the pressure off and just know that you're called to be faithful and obedient, and you're really called to stop and love the person in front of you. If it leads to their heart being open to the Lord and you leading them to give their life to Jesus, that's amazing. And we never want to shy back from that. But for a person starting out, I would encourage you, like, just take a step. Like, take a step, whether it's giving somebody a prophetic word, whether it's praying healing over somebody. And again, I just try to be as normal and comfortable as possible. So an example would be, let's say I go into Starbucks and I'm ordering a drink, and I noticed somebody sitting at a table, and they have a cast on their leg, and they have crutches leaning against the table. They're sitting down having their coffee. And I feel that prompting of the Lord. I want you to pray healing over their leg. You know, I might even wait till I get my coffee. You know, if God says, go do it right now, then, you know, I'll do that. But maybe I'll like order my coffee, and maybe on my way out, I'll be like, excuse me. Sometimes the Lord just prompts me to pray for people. And I felt prompted to pray for your leg. Is it okay if I pray for your leg? Or actually, let me back up a little bit. Usually I would say something like, hey, my name's Chuck. If you don't mind me asking, what happened to your leg? They might be like, well, I heard it playing football. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. This might sound crazy, but sometimes I pray for people and I see them healed. But is it okay if I say a quick prayer for your leg? Oftentimes they think you mean like later when you go home. So you might even say, is it okay if I say a quick prayer for your leg right now? I'm telling you, 9.7 times out of 10, they're like, sure. I mean, we're in Texas. Most people are open to that sort of thing. So if they say, yeah, sometimes I'll say, is it okay if I just put my hand on your shoulder? I always ask permission. Never assume somebody's okay with you, like touching them that when they've never met you before, or I won't even touch them. I'll just pray from where I am. And oftentimes I don't even close my eyes because I want to make them feel comfortable. So I'll just say a quick, simple prayer. Lord, I just thank you for John, that you love him, that you see him, and that you desire to heal his leg. So I just release healing into his leg. Let your kingdom come into his leg. All pain go. Bring complete healing, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Something as simple as that. Sometimes, you know, if it's something they can test out, awesome. But oftentimes I don't even do that. I call it a drive-by prayer. I'll just do a little quick thing like that. Bless you. I hope you're feeling well. If they seem like they're not in a hurry, you might want to be like, hey, do you mind if I give you my number? I'd love to hear how you're doing. Shoot me a text. Because if they get healed, if in 2 days they're completely pain-free, like, you want to know about it, right? So
that's good.
So I don't know if that answers your question. I think take the pressure off, just take little steps, sow seeds, and just give God something to work with.
Yeah, I think that's really good. I think it was actually while you were teaching this at church, I was just eating it up. It actually, even though, I mean, I know to live this way, but I hadn't heard someone talk about this from the pulpit in a while. And so I was like, oh, that feels so good. It feels like a drink of fresh water for me. And as you were talking, one of the guys who works at our gym, his face popped up in my head. And I just saw that guy with this huge smile, this joyful smile. And I thought, God, I have no idea what you want me to say to him, but okay, you know. So I think it was the next day I went to the gym and went up to him, and I'd never talked to him other than just the hi on the way in, you know. And I just went up to him. I said, I hope you don't mind, but I just have to share this. You know, it's not complicated, right? So I just said, I just want to share that the other day I was praying and your face popped up in my head. And he kind of looks at me like, oh. And I said, obviously I have no reason, you know, necessarily to be thinking about you, but God was thinking about you. And I just wanted you to know that I believe he wants you to know that he hears you, that he sees you, that whatever's going on in your life, he knows about it. I said, I just wanted you to know that. And he was like, I'm trying not to cry right now. Like, you have no idea the perfect timing. And so that's it, isn't it? It's just about making it very simple. You may not know what to say. And you could even say that, like, I literally have no idea what God wants me to say to you. I just want you to know that you're obviously on his heart because he brought you to my attention. Yeah, really simple. It doesn't have to be complicated.
That is so good. Yeah, something as simple as that. And I really believe, and I love that you saw that picture because God was highlighting him to you. And I really believe that if we ask for it, the Lord will do it. I find that when I ask him for opportunities and to bring people across my path and to highlight people, he does it. So I just want to encourage people. If you ask him, he will lead you to people that are need encouragement, whose hearts are open. And he really will highlight people. And I love that you kept it so simple and really ministered the love of God.
Exactly. Well, would you pray for us before we close and just release a blessing and speak courage and grace over the listeners to do this? You know, it's not always just about us.
Amen. Absolutely. Yeah. And just as I get ready to pray, I really believe there's three things that God wants to impart to his sons and daughters as it pertains to stopping to the one. And you mentioned it. I really believe he wants to give us courage. You know, I was driving down the street, listening to Cheon from Pasadena talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit fills us, we receive courage and boldness. And he's sharing stories about him stepping out and witnessing to people, you know, out in public. And Gretchen, as I'm listening to this teaching by Cheon, I start saying, God, I want more boldness. I want more courage. Give me more boldness. Give me more courage. And no word of a lie, as I'm praying this, I drive past a billboard on the highway. And this is all it said, be bold. On the door, as I'm praying. Awesome. So, as confirmation, like, and it's interesting because it's like, be bold. Again, we choose courage. We choose to walk in boldness. The other thing that I really believe that God wants to give us is compassion. And I'm going to pray that all through the Gospels, it says Jesus had compassion on them and healed them. Do you know how the lady at the gym was highlighted to me? When I saw her, I felt compassion. I didn't even know what it was for, but I was led by my compassion. And I really believe the Lord wants to give us compassion for those that don't know him and just love for people, because it's all about putting his love on display. And then the third thing that I want to pray is that the Lord releases an activation of the power of the Holy Spirit. Because Acts 1:8 says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power. That's the word dunamis. It's dynamite power. And that's why Paul told the Corinthians, my teaching, my preaching wasn't with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. And you know, when we release healing over somebody, you know, when you tell a guy at the gym, you came to my mind and the Lord wants you to know he hears you, that's the power of God, because there's no way you could know that. God showed you that. And through the power of God, he started to experience the love of God. And so I want to pray. And Father, I just thank you right now for every listener that's listening to the Breathing God podcast today. We bless this podcast. We bless all of the listeners. And Lord, I pray for all of the listeners today and all those that will listen to this in the future, that hearts would be stirred with a fresh empowering of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that you would release to every person compassion for those that don't know you, that we would just put your love on display everywhere we go, that you would highlight people to us through compassion. Lord, would you release a supernatural boldness and courage? And Lord, even give us the grace to choose courage, even when we feel afraid, that we would choose courage and we wouldn't let fear tell us what to do. So Lord, release supernatural boldness and courage in the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray for a fresh empowering of the Holy Spirit, Lord, a fresh baptism of fire, baptisms of power, God, that we would be filled with your Spirit afresh, that we would not trust in our own wisdom, but in the power of God, that when we step out, you're going to back us up with power. So Father, I just thank you for every listener, and I pray great grace over them now in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. You know, love on display, when you said that, that just stood out to me. Love on display. That is what we're called to be in this world, is love on display. And you actually talk about this in so much more detail in your book, Kingdom Perspectives, Seeing Yourself, Others, and the World Through the Lens of Heaven. Mm-hmm. And I, can you just tell listeners just a tiny bit more about it and where they can get sure. it?
Absolutely. Thank you. Yeah. I released this book last year, and it's really a compilation of my life core messages. So it talks about our identity. It talks about the spirit of adoption and our identity in the Lord. It talks about living a supernatural lifestyle, just kind of things that we've talked about. Talks about living a prophetic lifestyle, you know, which the prophetic, as we know, works just as well outside the church as it does inside the church. We just need to take the Christianese out of it and, you know, use a very easy to understand, not churchy language, but it works outside. Everybody wants an encounter with God, whether they realize it or not. So it talks about identity, talks about living a supernatural lifestyle, and really, like the subtitle says, seeing ourselves, others, and the world through the lens of heaven, so that we can be conduits of heaven to release his presence everywhere we go.
Beautiful, beautiful. And where can people find that?
People can get it on Amazon. So it's on Amazon. It's as well as Ann and I's personal website, which is just marministries.com, M-A-H-E-R ministries.com. Books on there, as well as some books that my wife Anna has written. So
yes, your wife writes children's books. Yes.
She does. She's released a devotional called Embracing Mystery, a 21-day journey of hope. And that was endorsed by the late happy intercessor, Benny Johnson. Okay. And so that's a great book. We keep getting testimonies about that. And she's released two children's books, You Were Made to Create and When God Says No. So.
So great. Yeah. You guys, hook up with them, find their ministry website, buy their books. And Chuck, thank you so much for being here with us. We really, really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
All of you listeners, love you guys. I bless you. And remember that this is what happens. This is what we get to do when we walk with love and in love. We get to display it for the whole world.
Come on.
See you guys in a couple weeks.
Thanks, bye. Gretchen.
Thank you for joining me on the Breathing God podcast. If this show has ministered to you, please consider leaving a review right here. And if you think the podcast will bless someone else, please share it. You can find help for anxiety, sign up for my newsletter, and find lots of other goodies on my website, GretchenRodriguez.com.